preach in the morning, and I see this pretty full church, so I'm very happy for that, and I'm very happy for those who make that committed, to be here. I'd like to start with the blessing on my knees, and it's I think it's been in a year or 2 years that I if you guys remember, we were like, it was Mother's Day, and I said something about my knees, and I didn't mean extremely to her, but I was looking at her, and it's been a year that that God heard our prayers, and now here we are with a huge blessing, and I'm so happy for her that she has made this decision. There should be her baby little girl should be presented to God today, this morning. So I thank you for that. Let's see if it works this thing. Well. And her name is Emma Queen, for those that now know her. Emma Queen, what was the last name?
Stewart.
I always forget her name, Stewart. I was going to say Galvan, but I don't know, maybe Galvan too, but no, it's Lopez. I Lopez, right? Stewart. I'm all last. I have to come up with that again. Anyway, that's her name, for those who now know her. And we're going to talk a little bit about how Jesus blessed the children, and why he did it, and why does not need to be baptized. Like many people, a lot of people in this world believe that the little babies should be baptized, as I was, because I was born, I was raised in a Catholic church, and in those days, well, you know, I'm a little kid, I had no word to say, and if I knew, maybe I would not accept that. But now that God has opened my eyes, and we have read the scriptures, and we all know that that is a doctrine that it came out from who knows where. And then it's a strong tradition that is hard to break. So I'm going to take a few minutes here to explain a little bit, just real quick, before we do the blessing. We're going to read in 8:23. I'm going to read it here real quick. And when he has said these words, this is Jesus, he wept, and the multitude bear record of it. And he took the little children one by one and blessed them and prayed unto the Father for them. And when he had done this, he wept again. And he speaking to the multitude and saying unto them, Behold, you little ones. And as they looked to behold, they cast their eyes towards heaven, and they saw the heavens open. And they saw angels descending out of heaven, as it were in the midst of fire. And they came down in a circle, those little ones ran about. And they were encircled about with fire, and the angels there ministered unto them. And the multitude there see it and hear. And this, if you read the last words that I underlined here, it says that this record is true. And what I'm saying today, it's not coming out from me. It's coming out from the box. And I believe that these records are true. And even as they are little ones, the Lord, God is aware of them. You see that if little faces exist, and I don't remember where I read it, but it says that you can almost see the face of God when you see the face of a little child. Because they're so humble. I'm sorry for this. My computer is acting weird. But anyway, I think I'm going to. And I have no internet. Yeah. Okay. I'm so sorry about that. You want me to turn my And as brother walked me through this thing, I just want to continue with my comments that there is a thing that God told us to do before he went up to heaven to his Father. He said, He said to his disciples that we should do everything that you saw me do. And then, and this is what the Bible and the Book of Mormon teach us, that we do what Christ did, and this is a good example for us to follow. And so that's one of the things that we should do and obey. The little children, it has no need to be baptized. And we continue on here. Children are under God's protection from the beginning of this world. And that is so true, brothers and sisters. And Mark, in the book of Mark 10:16, it says, and he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. And if you remember, that is when the children were trying to approach him, and his disciples rebuked them from coming to him. But what did he tell them? Don't do that. Because it's a good example. If you want to go, if you want to make it to my Father's kingdom, you have to be just like one of these little children. That is a really good example. Moroni 8:4-13. And now, my son, this is the words of Mormon to his son. And now, my son, I speak unto you concerning that which is grieving exceedingly, for I grieve me that there should be should there be disputations rise among you. Have learned the truth. If I have learned the truth, there has been disputations among you concerning the baptism of your little children. And now, my son, I desire that you should labor exceedingly, that this gross error, I repeat that, should be removed from among you. For this intent, I have write this epistle. Immediately after I had learned these things of you, I inquired of the Lord concerning the matter. And the word of the Lord came to me, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, saying, listen to the words of Christ, your Redeemer, your Lord, your God. Behold, I'm coming to the world not to call righteous, but sinners. Little babies are righteous in God's eyes. Sinners is who we are, and so those who surround us, those are the sinners. If you remember, Christ said, I came to save the sinners, not the ones that are no need to be saved. I come for the ones that are sick, not the ones that are whole. For they are not capable of committing sin. Wherefore, the curse of Adam is taken from them and me, that it had no power over them, and the law of circumcision is done away in me. And after this manner, there the Holy Ghost manifests the words of God unto me. Wherefore, my beloved son, I know that this is a solemn mark before God, that you should not baptize little children. These words are very strong, but we have to understand that they are true, and they're not for us. It's for these little ones and for the parents and for all those who have these little babies to understand that they do not need to be baptized at the age where they are, because that comes when they know and they have the understanding that they have the need to be baptized. Behold, I say unto you that this thing should you teach repentance and baptism unto they which are accountable and capable of committing sin. Yea, teach parents that they must repent and be baptized and humble themselves as their little children, and they should be safe with their little children, and their little children need no repentance, neither baptism. Behold, baptism is into repentance to the fulfilling of the commandments into the remission of sin. But little children are alive in Christ, even from the foundation of the world. Amen to that. So those are my comments. I'm going to cut it short because my time is like going a little too fast. But these are the important words that I would like to share with you guys and to understand the need and the reason why we're doing this. Because when Christ came to this world, he fulfilled all that was written in the Old Testament, and it's not longer to us for us to practice those things, which they never it was practiced. There was never practiced baptism, by the way. I'm sorry about that. So, without taking any more time, I'm going to have Brother Adam, since he is an elder, to do the blessing of this Emma, my little niece. And, you know, like I said, she cannot speak, but she, I bet she's like, thank you so much for this. We all need the prayers. I just wanted to say, I need prayers. And I have a little loose up here where there were three preachers. There were three preachers that the three preachers have problems. One of them, he's like, I have a problem and I need prayers. He's like, okay, what is your problem? He's like, well, I like to take money from the basket when it comes back to me. And I take money from it according to my need. That is my problem, and I need prayers for that. The other one is like, oh, so what did you need prayers for? Well, I have these thoughts and which not good, and I like beautiful women. Okay, all right, yeah, you do need prayers, man. And they ask to the other one, what do you need prayers for? What's your problem? He's like, well, my problem is that I can't keep any secrets. We all need prayers. And that's what we are here for. And how can you be a child of God if you don't need prayers? If you don't ask for them? You gotta be faithful to God. From the beginning, from the time that we accept Him in our heart, in our minds. He has called us to be a faithful servant. But how can you going to be a faithful servant? We have to humble ourselves and ask for prayers, for guidance and for directions in our lives. Faithful, I don't know if I can consider myself faithful when I am a human being and I do all these things every day. As I'm going to work, I deal with a lot of stuff. I'm surrounded with a lot of stuff. I surrounded by any other people that get to speak their mind worse than maybe that offend me, maybe that I don't work, I don't use. So that makes me wondering, how can I be a faithful servant to my Lord? In 1 Corinthians, it says that we're going to have to be judged. We're going to have to face Christ in the last days. We're going to have a judgment. There is a judgment seat of Christ. And there is a white throne. We're going to have to face both according to the scriptures. One way or another, there is no other way. So I'm here to tell you that good deeds perhaps help, but they're not going to save you. And according to your good deeds, you'll be judged. So, how do you think you can be a faithful servant? I'm going to read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or evil, whether it be good or bad. And so, how can you make to that point? We are in a race, it says the scriptures. We are raised. We are on a path, a straight and narrow path. How can we have the faith to be in front of Christ when you know the things you have done? We have to think about those things as we walk in this path and acknowledge there is someone out there that we're going to have to deal with. In Revelations, we face the white throne. Revelations 20:11, it says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven flee away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and the small and great, and I saw them small, the great and the small and great, stand before God. Poor, rich, young people, old people, they all right there standing before God. He's not going to be any pick and choose. We all going to receive according to our deeds, not because you did this and you did all that, not because you have all this and the other ones then have not. Even if you have less or more, you're going to receive the same judge according to your works, according to your works. So be careful what you do in your life. Be careful what you have done. And if you do it and you know it's wrong, pray for forgiveness. That's why we have breath alive for 24 hours. How far is dead from ourselves? I say. And we know that is one breath. We are far from death, one breath. We are here today, tomorrow, who knows? So don't make plans for tomorrow without saying, God first. Primero Dios, we say it in Spanish. If God wants it, God will. We have to do the best we can as we are alive, as long as we have the breath, the gift of life in our lungs. That's what we need to do. In Matthew 25, we're going to read from 1 to 10. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto the 10 virgins, which took the lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They were foolish, took their lamps and took oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and their lamps while the bridegroom tarried. They slumbered and sleep, and the midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish say to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answer saying, not so, lest there be no and not enough for us and you. But go ye rather and them to them to sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. My good deeds, they're not going to be part of you. You have to work it out for yourself. How is you going to be ready for when the bridegroom room comes? Those are the things we need to think about. Remember what Christ said. I'm going to come to you as a thief. And I'm going to let you know when I'm here. You have to be ready to receive me. How do you can keep those lamps, those oils floating? How do you know you have enough oil? You have to be open to all those who surround you. You have to be kind. You have to acknowledge those who are standing in great need. And one way or another, be a blessing to them. And that is what God says about it. That's how you keep your oil overflowing. By helping your neighbor. Christ told us, treat your neighbor as yourself. And that is how you be considered by standing in front in the white throne with him. And then I can't imagine how it's going to be. But I know it's just like something up there is taking note, looking down to you and write it down, everything that you do. And that is a scary thing to think, because you're not alone. It says that God can see everything. He closed the door as the 5 virgins went with him. And if you remember in Genesis, the Lord closed the door when Noah went into the ark. And we're going to read in Genesis 7:15. And they went into Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, where is breath of life. And they went in, went in male and female of all flesh, and God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. You know, this is really, really, if you think about it, God is so smart, and he knows what he's doing, and he knows what you can do for the best of you. He knows. When the flood came, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Brother Adam touched something about this movie, these two guys, they were in the water for 28 days or something like that. 21. I was searching for that movie, and I never find that. It's one season because it was true. I just want to read it a little bit. But if you think about it, 40 days and 40 nights it was raining. And he flooded up the whole world, the whole earth, even 50 cubits more above the tallest mountain. He wanted to make sure that everybody was dead. He was mad. He was mad at his creation because creation was so beautiful, but they turned evil. He killed everyone. But then he felt bad, and he made a promise that he would not do that again. So for 150 days, besides the 40 days and 40 nights, there was water on the earth. Nothing was alive except 8 people, which Noah and his sons and wives. And right here, I write down a note. You know, you cannot last that long in the water. If the water is warm, you can last a little bit longer. But afterwards, you're going to end dying in less than 2 days because you fall apart. You know, as a little baby, when you're swimming in the bathtub, and mom is screaming at you, "Hey, get out." "No, no, my hands are not wrinkled yet." That's like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and your hands starts to look like an old man. Sorry, not offending at all. I'm going there. Not yet, but close. But the water is it will do that to you. You will die. You cannot last that long. So God knew what he was doing. And that's how he got rid of all those evil people. But for now, this reason why Christ came to this world. He does not want that to happen again. And that's why he came to save the world by love. And because our sins, he suffered on the cross. And this is the truth. We're going to read in Amos. Amos chapter 8:11-12. "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it." They're not going to find. Now we're not talking about the famine that we are living right now to it. But even before that, people are removing the word of the Lord from everywhere, from schools, from courts, from buildings, from everything. The church is the only house that we have that we can come and hear the word of the Lord. And we have gone through a lot of problems in this world for the same reason. It's like his truth is laying outside in the ground because not many people will live in him anymore. But I tell you what, and I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is for real, and he is the truth. We need to go outside and pick up the truth again, the faith that we have, and put it to work in ourselves, and bring it to others, that they may be able to hear it. I bet Amos, what he says here, is active right now. His word is about to flee from us. You know, and I believe it's in Ezekiel, it says that. You know, if you misbehave, I'm going away from you. That's what the Holy Spirit, I pray that the Holy Spirit always remains in me. I literally see him leaving my body if I misbehave. And there is not going to happen. And I'm here to tell you that you should be aware of that and watch the things that you do in your daily life. Revelation 12:6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared for God, that they should feed her there 1,100 days. Well, that is in King James. Then NIV, it says 1,260 days, literally. It is hard to understand these prophetic words, as Brother Jerry ran into it this morning. It is hard. And this is a little bit of history here, what happened, and why I believe that we are in these last days, and we have the true gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's been restored by him. So we have the true gospels, the true doctrines, the true word of God. In Jewish calendar, it says that each month has 30 days. 42 months are from Revelations, where I just read. The beasts have power and over the saints. And it talks about times and times and half the times, what does that mean? I read a little bit this, so don't ask me too many questions, but it makes totally sense. It makes totally sense. Time is 100 years. 100 years. Times is 200 years. Half time is half a year. So that's 42 months. So if you do your math, 30 plus 42, by 42 is equal to 260 days. The woman was in the wilderness. What does that mean? The woman was in the wilderness. It says that it was an apostasy of the church. When Christ was here, the church was so perfect. But in 507 AD, the church fell. His doctrines fall. They start coming up with other doctrines. That is why his true gospel was taken away for all this time, for 216 years. And that's how we know that he had a plan for us this year, and the present, and the days of the Lord. So, 216 years, which means that from 570 AD to 1260 is equals 1830. That is when the gospel was restored of Jesus Christ, his church. And I know, and that makes me comfort. Can that be true? I hope it is, and I believe. I don't know if it makes sense to you, unless if you know a little bit of the history of the church, which is a lot to talk about, and it's a lot to get into it. But these doctrines are continuing ever since. Since 1830, we have the true church and the true gospel of Jesus Christ, which is pretty simple. Right now, I have a mega church in my work, and they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They only believe that Christ and God are the ones in power. They don't mention the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in the Holy Trinity. And I feel sorry for them, but of course, it's all about business. They're not here to worship. It's all about talk about business. The things that are not going to save you. So, right now, the only way that we have, after 570, all these doctrines were crazy, confusing our people. If you remember what Joseph Smith there is, went to pray and ask which church should I follow or go to, none of them. From the words of the Lord, says none of them. Don't enjoy any of them. You have to be careful with those things. Don't just go to where you hear pleasant words. They're going to lift you up and make you feel good. Because they will only be temporary. As Jesus Christ restored the church in 1830, the Church of Christ is organized by himself, Christ Jesus, as he is the head. And the 12 apostles oversaw the church of the earth. The principles are the same. The principles that we practice, the doctrines that we practice are the same. And you read them in Hebrews 6, 1 to 13. Faith is in our Christ and Christ our Savior. Repentance from sins. Baptism by immersion. Laying of the hands for the redemption and the Holy Ghost and for the healing of the sick. That's another thing that people today don't believe. There's no power. There's no more miracles. There's no more of those things. That's been done and that's been turned into men. God's power has been given to men for men to do those things. No, it's not that. Remember when Apostle Paul and many of them, Peter, they did a lot of miracles and they were worshiping them and say, hey, that's not me. Don't worship me. Give glory to God, to Christ. Because by him, I do these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Not in the name of Paul or Adam, me or whoever. We have the truth. Since 1830. And you can find it, like I said, in Hebrews 6. So when the time comes that we have to leave this world, my wife likes to see when we go to places, likes to see that they are the stones in the cemeteries. And it's, and you know how it says, when you were born to where you died. So the question is, were you there from that day to the end? When you are in the presence of God, what are you going to tell him what you have done from that day that you were born to the day that you died? Are you so sure that you're going to be part of his kingdom? That is a huge space. Are you going to have a peaceful death because you know you have done everything and you are worthy to call yourself righteousness or faithful servant? I don't know. We just read about the 10 virgins. 5 were foolish and 5 were smart. They were doing the right thing. You can put your faith in the things of the world. You can put your faith in the good things that this world offers you. I was looking for another word, but I can find it in my brain. So what did he say? In First Nephi, he's like, I'm knocking on your door. And if you open, I come in. We don't pretend to know everything. But the simple, humble understanding of the scriptures and his word. Second Nephi 6:84. It says, and say they shall cast these things away and consider themselves fools before God and come down from the depths of humility. And he will not open unto them. And 35, 1:10. Laid up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Don't treasure anything here. I mean, we have a pretty good examples of people here that are, a lot of them, I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of them, they have no need of anything, including God, because they have everything. They're rich. They're rich. And we're going to read it in Luke 12:16-21. It says, and behold, and they told them this parable. The ground of certain rich men yield an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, he told to himself, he was talking to himself. What should I do, self? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I would do. He was answering him himself also. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And then I will store my sprouts, grain, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty grain laid up for many, many years. Take life easy. Take life easy. Eat and drink and be merry. And this is the days that we are living. It's like the days of Noah. Eat, drink, live easy. You have enough money. You don't need to worry about anything. You have everything. You will have a happy last days in earth. That's not all. There's more. There's more to come. Dead, they say this, dead is the beginning. We have to do more than just take it easy and drink and eat, just like in the days of Noah when the Lord shut the door at the ark and everybody died, except the eight. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? We say in Spanish, no sabes para quién trabajas. You don't know who you work for. Or your hard work, somebody else will be enjoying it. And it's kind of, I don't know how it sounds, but it's the truth. You don't know who you work for. You can't rely on those things that of the material that this world offers you. You can't rely on it at all. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. That's just a little bit of, so we can stir up our brain and think about it a little bit and do something about it. We need to do something about that. Matthew 25:19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he had received 5 talents, came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, that deliverest unto me 5 talents, behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents. Let's remember, you will not be saved by good works. You can be a good servant, faithful and good servant, by doing those things. We have to put to work what God has put in your mind. As I'm speaking to you right now, it's presenting you that Jesus Christ is true, and through him, the salvation is. Every word that I'm saying right now is like a seed, and all of you who's taking it, God will make it grow, because his word does not come back to him empty. So when the day comes that you are present in his presence, he will ask you, you heard about me. Don't deny it. These days, everybody knows about Christ, but it takes a long time to accept it and to acknowledge him that is he that you need. This is how you can be a faithful servant. Take in the word of God. And for those who are work for him, we need to do the work of evangelists, because even the devil does the work of evangelists. He's still up there working hard. You know what the scripture says? That we have a war. We have a war every day. We have to fight every day against that. Just a reminder. How to keep those cups of oil overfilling. Let them not be empty, just like the 5 foolish virgins. You think you have everything and you don't need anything else. You're wrong. We have work to do. Christ says, as long as the day has light, I have work to do. And then his Lord saying to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee a ruler over many things. enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's our point. That's our finish line. That's our reward. There will be a reward for you. So how can we be sure that we are going to receive that? 2 Timothy 4:6, for I am now ready to be offered in the time of my departure is in hand. Have fought a good fight and I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me after that day, and that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. When your name and your years and the tombstone is grave and grave, it will be the last. You can't do anything else. You can't come back and try to fix things. That will be the last minute. And as long as we are here and every day is a chance for us to do the right thing, we have to do the right thing that we may receive this crown that is talking about here. 2 Thessalonians. Finally, brethren, in chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience waiting for Christ. And how true is that? That it is a prayer that our brother here is teaching us, that we have to be patient, faithful, and stay away from the wicked stuff. We have to be confident and believe in the things that we read in the books. Because there will be books open in that day. And according to that, you're going to be judged. I'm here to tell you that we need to believe in that truth, because the truth will make you free. And that is my favorite word. The truth will make you free. You know, if you're so good when you tell your wife, your friend, I love you, let's not keep things in our hearts that perhaps we have the feeling towards our brothers and sisters. We have to take those things out and forgive one another. And that's how we will be count righteousness and when we are appear to the white throne, when we appear to the great judge, which is Christ Jesus. I thank you for your time, and that's my thoughts for today. Thank you so much, and I hope that this was a blessing, and some of these words will touch your heart. Thank you.